Well, with that being said, I want to preach from this theme and thought today. Tis the season to be joyful. Tell the person beside you, you need some joy in your life. Come on, find somebody else. Tell them you need some joy in your life. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your word. I pray, Father, in this moment that you would speak to us and stir our hearts. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom and clarity as we lean into your word. I pray for the person right now who feels discouraged, that upon hearing your word, that they will know that you are for them and not against them. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. 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 Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat this morning, this afternoon. Amen. Tis the season to be joyful. And I think I need a bottle of water. Tis the season to be joyful. Just by showing hands, family, how many of us are familiar with the well-known song, Deck the Halls? How many of us are familiar with that song? Just by showing hands, Deck the Halls. I'm going to test out your Christmas song acumen in this moment. I want to see if out of all three services, if you all at the 11:30 service are the best Christmas gurus in our entire church. So I'm going to test this out by saying a few words to this song to see if y'all will tag along. All right, you ready for it? Clear your vocal cords. You ready? Deck the halls with... Ooh. All right, hold on. Don't go yet. Tis the season to be... Can y'all give yourselves a hand? My God. Y'all are the best service out of today. The first two services had nothing for me in this moment. That's why my voice is gone, because I had to sing, you know? But it's interesting what I like about that song, and many of us are interested or familiar with that song, especially that second line, "Tis the season to be jolly." What's interesting is everybody is singing that song from December 1st to December 25th, or for some of you who are fanatics, since October 31st to December 25th. But what's interesting is when the clock strikes December 26th, this song is no longer being sung. No longer is "Tis the Season to Be Jolly" still applicable, it seems, in this moment. And I find it to be very interesting, because I think when it comes to jolliness and being happy, according to culture standard, there's oftentimes an expiration date on it. That it's 'tis the season to be jolly all the way up until December 25th. But then the next day, jolly is out the window. People are back to being mean. People are back to cutting you off in traffic. People are back to letting the door slam in your face and not opening up the door. Like, everybody's niceness goes out the window on the next day after Christmas. And I find that to be interesting, because I think in many ways it correlates with this passage of scripture here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Because here in this passage, family, it's following the birth of Jesus, and the scene moves to how his arrival impacts the lives of some shepherds. And if you don't know anything about shepherds back in this biblical time, this first century Greco-Roman context, shepherds back in Jesus' time and in this early time, they were considered to be the outcasts of society. They were considered to be people who were dirty and smelly and not the most visually appealing, because they took care of sheep. Nobody wanted to be around them. Nobody was signing up to be shepherds for an occupation. It was a messy job. It was a mundane job. Let me say it like this. There was nothing jolly about their job. And some of us would agree with that and say, "Pastor, there ain't nothing jolly about my job neither." Matter of fact, I'm glad that we off a break. But the shepherds didn't have a lifestyle that was filled with, if you will, jolly. And in addition to this, the Bible says here in verse 8, that in the same region, these shepherds were staying out in the fields, and they were keeping watch at night, according to what the Bible says here in verse 8. They were keeping watch at night over their flock. Everybody say, at night. When you look in scripture, when you see phrases like at night and that word night, it oftentimes pops up in scripture. And one of the things that you always want to do when you're looking in scripture and you see words that constantly unveil or constantly arise to the pages of scripture, to the surface of the pages of scripture, you always want to take a closer look at that. Because one of the things that you'll recognize is oftentimes when night is mentioned in the scripture, it speaks of darkness, it speaks of despair, it speaks of brokenness, it can speak of evil and shame and sin and spiritual darkness or separation from God. Shepherds find themselves in a dark time here in verse 8 following the birth of Jesus. I find that to be also interesting because here in the month of December, December 21st was considered to be the winter solstice, and it's considered to be the shortest day of the year in terms of daylight, but the longest day of the year in terms of darkness. So just a few days ago, the sun was shining less than what it normally does, and the darkness was sticking around a little bit longer than normal. And in this text, family, just as the shepherds found themselves in a mundane and in a dark situation, I believe that some of you are here today online and in person, and you are in a space of darkness right now. Many of us have come today in person and online, and you're saying, Pastor, how can I be happy and jolly when everything in my life is falling apart? Matter of fact, when you hear songs like Deck the Halls and you hear that song, 'Tis the Season to Be Jolly, and some of you are like, Pastor, that's easy for some people to say because they haven't walked through what I'm walking through right now. It's easy for people to say, 'Tis the Season to Be Jolly because they haven't lost a loved one. It's easy to say 'tis the season to be jolly when they're not overwhelmed and they're not stressed. It's easy to sing this song and this song that evokes all this emotion. But some of you are here right now and you're like, Pastor, I'm not feeling it though. I'm walking through some darkness right now. I'm walking through a divorce right now. My parents, if you're a young person, my parents are fighting and kids are bullying me at school and people treat me a certain way because of my age and because of my color. And how can I be happy and jolly in the midst of everything that I'm facing? That's what some of us are dealing with today. And if you're wrestling with this moment right now, and if you find yourself in a dark place, just similar, just like the shepherds found themselves in a dark place on a calendar and at a particular time on this day, some of us are in a dark season of life right now where it's hard to see your way through. I want to encourage you with this message of hope today. God wants you and I to have something that is better than happiness and the jolly of Christmas movies. He wants you to have something better than a Santa Claus 1, 2, and 3. He wants you to have something better than Buddy the Elf. He wants you to have something better than all the Christmas movies on Hallmark. He wants you to have something better than this Christmas movie. He wants you to have something better than all the Christmas songs that you could ever sing. And that thing is called joy. That in spite of the shepherds being considered outcast by society, outside and in the dark, God, the Bible says, sends an angel to bring them good news. And verse 9 says it like this, that this angel stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The glory of the Lord shone around them. Why is this so profound and so important? Because the glory of the Lord speaks of this immense radiant light from heaven that has shone up in the midst of their darkness that they're in right now. Why is that good news for us? Because here's what this lets us know, that whenever you find yourself in a dark moment in life, God, who is the originator and the source of all light, has a strange way of showing up in your most darkest moments in your life. It doesn't matter how dark it is. Jesus, the light of the world, has come to shine light in your dark places of your life, the dark places of your relationships, the dark places of your emotions, the dark places of your mental faculties. Jesus has come to bring light to your dark places. And I like what verse 10 says, because it says this, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Which means this, that no matter what you and I may be going through. The good news is that God always has a message of good news that will bring you and I great joy. And if you're here today and you're struggling through these dark moments in life, I'm here to let you know online and in person that God has sent a message of light in the form of his son Jesus Christ during this Christmas season to remind you that no matter how dark it is, no matter how bad it is, and no matter how discouraging it may look, that Jesus, the light of the world, has come to bring light to your dark moments. Matter of fact, I say it like this. I want you to write this down, that in times of darkness, Jesus always shows up. In times of darkness, Jesus always shows up. And some of you are here today on this Christmas Eve Sunday, and you can testify to the fact that in times of darkness in your own life, Jesus showed up. When you couldn't see your way through, Jesus showed up. When you didn't know how you were going to make it through the next month, Jesus showed up. When you didn't know how you were going to make it to another year, Jesus showed up. When you didn't know how you were going to make it through that bad situation, Jesus showed up. When you didn't know how you were going to make it through that sickness and through that diagnosis, Jesus showed up. And I believe I'm talking to some of you guys in here today, online and in person, who can say, Pastor, I have plenty of stories in my life where I did not know how I was going to make it, but Jesus showed up. And I just want to know, at the 11:30 service, is there anybody here that's grateful for Jesus, the light of the world, showing up in your most darkest times? Come on, it's 11:30. It's the last service. Can we praise God for the fact that Jesus shows up when we need him the most? Jesus shows up when it's ugly. Jesus shows up when it's dark. Jesus shows up. That's the only reason why you made it through what you made it through. It's because Jesus showed up. I want you to look at the person beside you. I want you to tell them you're not by yourself. Come on, find somebody that's telling them you're not by yourself. And I love this, because what this text helps us to see is that not only does Jesus bring light to a situation, but he shows up and brings joy. That's what this whole season is all about. We call the season Advent season. That word Advent is a Latin word. It means to arrive. It means the arrival. And I'm here to let you know that Jesus came from heaven to earth. And when he came from heaven to earth, he came bearing gifts. That's why we call this series that we're in, this message series, called "Tis the Season." Because in John 10 and 10, Jesus says, I have come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came down from heaven in this season to bring you and I Christmas gifts. But he didn't come down a chimney. He came down 40 in two generations, and he came through a virgin girl by the name of Mary. He did the impossible to show you that he is the God of all things. He came bearing gifts. I don't know if you've ever been, had a gathering, and maybe you had a cookout, and maybe you're going to gather with some people and some family, whatever the case may be, and there's a gathering, and then you got some people who come to the gathering, and they bring nothing with them. They don't bring gifts. They don't bring any food. Come on, cookouts happen in a few months from now, and you have a cookout at your house, and you know that such and such person is not going to bring anything to this cookout. Not plates, not forks, not napkins, not lemonade, not even from the store. The only thing they're going to bring is an appetite. Can I let you know something about Jesus? Whenever Jesus shows up, he always comes bearing gifts. He doesn't come empty-handed. And when Jesus came down from heaven to earth, y'all, he came down to bring us peace, hope, love, as we talked about last week. But he also came down to bring something that I think many of us are in need of in this season, and that's joy. His arrival brings joy. That's why we sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. Joy to the world, not because I got a lot of money in my account. Money comes and goes. Joy, not because I got the job of my dreams. I could have the job of my dreams one day and lose it the next. Joy, not because I married the person of my dreams. That person could be here today and be gone today. I have joy not in the things of this world. I have joy because the maker of heaven and earth came down to show me how much he loves me by coming down to give himself on the cross to forgive me of all of my sins. That's what joy is all about. He is the giver of joy. We don't find joy outside of him. And many of us have been trying to find joy in a job. You won't find it there. Many of us have been trying to find joy in a relationship. You will not find it there. Many of us have been trying to find joy in accomplishments. You will not find it there. At best, all you find is happiness. But happiness is based upon the good things that are happening. You can be happy one moment and be sad the next, because it's typically based upon something that's temporary. But when you have joy, joy is not temporary. Joy is eternal. Because the one who gives it is eternal. Which is why the Bible says in Psalm 30 verse 5 that weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. And I'm here to let some of you all know joy is here today. It's time for you to wake up to the fact that joy is sitting at the door of your heart. Joy is knocking on the door of your life. And joy has a name, and the name of joy is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's come that you might experience it. That no matter what it is that you're facing, his joy is enough. Matter of fact, I want you to write this down, that joy is heaven's answer for earth's ailments. That no matter what it is that you face, his joy is sufficient enough to deal with it. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with, it doesn't matter what you're experiencing, it doesn't matter what you're facing, his joy is enough. And so much of this Luke account, so much of the birth of Jesus, there's so much rejoicing, there's so much singing, there's so much celebration. And it's not based upon anything that's happening on earth in and of itself. It's based upon something that came from heaven to earth. This joy is not based upon how many followers you got on Instagram, how many views you got on TikTok. This joy is not based upon how much money you have. This joy is not based upon whether people are getting along with you or not. This joy is not based upon any of these things. No, this joy is something greater in the form of Jesus Christ. God says, I want you to experience my gift of joy in this season. So whether you get all the gifts that you want or not, you can still have joy. Whether people like you or not, you can still have joy. Whether the report is favorable for you, you can still have joy. Whether you're getting along with everybody or not, you can still have joy. Whether you got sickness in your body right now or not, you can still have joy. 'Tis the season to not be jolly, to be joyful. 'Tis the season. Why? Because the gift of joy that God gives, his joy, I want you to write this down, is comforting. Everybody say comforting. I love this because the Bible says here in verse 9 and verse 10, that the angel comes to the shepherds, and the first thing that the angel says is this: don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The reason why this is so profound, family, is because the angel made a point to let the shepherds know that they were receiving this news of joy, that the arrival and the birth of Christ is a joy for every person to experience. This is why the angel says this, that this is good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I'm here to let you know that this gift of joy, y'all, is for everybody. It doesn't matter what your color is. It doesn't matter what your age is. It doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus has joy that's available for all people. No matter the condition you find yourself in, his joy works for it. No matter what you're dealing with right now, his joy works there. No matter what you're facing right now, his joy is available. A Savior was born for you, the angel says. Messiah, the Lord. Why is it so profound? Because what this statement reveals is it reveals God's intent all along. And God's intent was always to send his son Jesus down to earth to forgive us of our sins, to save us from our sinfulness, the penalty of our sin, which is death. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about y'all, but when I look at 38 years of my life, I have run up the sin bill in my life. There's been things that I've done all throughout the course of my life that should have caused God a long time ago to say, I'm giving up on you, I'm done with you. But I thank God that he is rich in mercy, that he is rich in love, that he is rich in grace. Come on, that he's rich in forgiveness, that he says, no matter what you have done, my grace is sufficient. Came Jesus to save us from our sin. You and I deserve condemnation from God because of our sin. But instead, Jesus came on behalf of God the Father to give us not condemnation, but to give us salvation. Can I help you understand something? This is 12 o'clock service, 11:30 service, so we can be a little bit real in this. Like, do you not realize that your sin should have taken you out a long time ago? Come on, like when you lied, it should have been a wrap for you. When you slept with that person who wasn't your spouse, when you committed adultery, you should have been gone a long time ago. When you flicked that person off on an interstate, that hit a little hard, huh? When you cussed that person out, when you thought impure things in your mind towards that person, you didn't kill them with your words, you killed them with your thoughts. You should have been gone a long time ago. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent his son Jesus Christ down from heaven to earth to save us from all of our sin. The sin that came out your mouth, the sin that didn't come out your mouth, the sin that came out of your life, and the sin that still resides in your heart, the sin that you thought about, the sin that you didn't even know you didn't think about. God is rich in mercy. Thank God that he sent his son Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Should have been gone a long time ago, y'all. I don't know about y'all, when I think about my own life and I think about some of the things that I've done throughout the course of my life, there is no reason why I should be here today. The only reason I'm here today is because God has been faithful. It's because God has been good. He's been looking out. He's been preserving. He's been protecting. He's been saving. He's been forgiving. And I just want to know, is there anybody in here today that can say, Pastor, I'm with you? Because I know I shouldn't be here today. That the only reason I'm here is because of the goodness of God. It's because of the grace of God. I need some people who can celebrate this Christmas season, all that God has done, and the fact that had it not been for the Lord on my side, wouldn't be here. Should have took an L a long time ago. But I'm still here because of his goodness and his grace. I know for some of us, you've lived a perfect life. You've never made a mistake. You've never said nothing wrong out of somebody, about somebody out of your mouth. But for the rest of us in here who know for a fact that I have done some grimy things in my life, I have done some sinful things in my life, and had God not been rich in love and in mercy, I would not be here to talk about it. God's been faithful. He's been good. And he's made a way out of no way. And you know what that brings? It brings comfort. Because he did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. So you want to know the reason why we can always have joy, no matter this, especially in this Christmas season? We don't have joy because of these gifts under the tree. We have joy because of the gift that came down to hang on the tree. That's why we have joy. We have joy in Jesus. So whether or not you get the gift that you wanted, you got something that you didn't even know you needed, which was forgiveness. Salvation. And here is what the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk says back in the book of Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 18. He says, yet I will celebrate in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's not rejoicing because he has all the food that he could desire. He's not rejoicing because he has all the material tangible. He says, no, I rejoice in the God of my salvation. I should not be here. God has saved me from some stuff. God has spared me from some stuff. And when you look back over your life, there are certain things that you should not have made it out of. And the only reason you did is because of the God of your salvation. We rejoice. We rejoice and we celebrate. Because of God's goodness, his joy brings comfort to us. That's so encouraging, y'all, because the first thing that the angel says to the shepherds is, don't be afraid. And some of us have been bound by fear in our hearts so long. And I believe that God is saying, hey, it's time for you to stop being a slave to fear and start being a recipient of my joy. Some of you have been bound by fear for so long. Fear about what's going to happen tomorrow. Fear about what's going to happen 2024. Some of y'all are so bound by fear, you're thinking about 2025. Because fear is, what if this happens? And what if January 1st, 2025? Da, 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 da. And God is saying, can you trade in your fear for my joy? Because if you have joy, maybe it'll help your blood pressure go down a little bit. If you have joy, maybe it'll allow you to be able to sleep in heavenly peace a little bit more. If you have joy, maybe you can experience the comfort that I want to give. Matter of fact, there's a song, there's another holiday song that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. It's God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It's a very well-known Christmas song. And in this song, it says, God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ, our Savior, was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. Y'all, when we were in sin, you were in Satan's grip and you were under Satan's power. But thank God that Jesus has more power than Satan and he broke you free. Then it says, oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. His joy is comforting, y'all, because he's done for something for us that we could not do for ourselves. But not only is his joy comforting, his joy is compelling. When you look at verse 15 of Luke 2, here's what the Bible says. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Everybody say go. Let's go straight to Bethlehem. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened. Then later on, it says they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby was lying in the manger. And then later on, the Bible says, and they reported the message that they heard from the angels to everyone else. The reason why this is so important for us to see, family, is because originally, y'all, when the shepherds were found by these angels, they were in a place of obscurity and insignificance. They were in a place that was hidden from others. Nobody wanted to be around shepherds. They were in an isolated place. But now, because of this good news of Jesus, they have gone from a place of insignificance and obscurity to now a place of significance and purpose. They have moved from one place to a greater place. And they were filled with so much joy that they couldn't stay where they were. They had to go and tell others about this good news of Jesus that they had just received from the angel. Why is this so important, family? Because what the joy of Jesus does for our life is it moves us from a place of being paralyzed and it moves us to a place of freedom. It moves us from our past, and it now begins to move us into our purpose. I'm here to let you know that when you have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you, the joy, as the scripture says, of the Lord is your strength, and it's able to move you from your past and move you to where God wants you to be. I'm here to let you know that you no longer have to be a prisoner to your past or even a prisoner to your present, but the joy of the Lord is your strength, and you can move forward. You can move forward in this power. You don't have to stay in bondage any longer. The labels of society, the labels of the enemy, the labels of others no longer has to limit you. No, now in Christ Jesus, you can move forward. Here's what Romans 15, 13 says. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now may the God of hope fill you with a little bit of joy. 75% joy. 99.9% joy. No. He says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow. God wants you to have so much joy that it causes your life to overflow to the point where that joy that's on the inside of you, it becomes able to spill out of you and spill onto the lives of other people. He wants you to have not just a compelling joy. He wants this joy that he gives you to be a contagious joy. He wants this joy to be a joy that doesn't just start with you, but rather it flows with you. It flows through you. It flows out of you onto the lives of other people around you. Well, let me say it like this, in the words of the great philosopher Buddy the Elf, that the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. The reason my buddy can say that is because he's overflowing with this Christmas joy. But I'm here to let you know we got something better than what Buddy the Elf has. We got something better than what society has. We got the joy of Jesus Christ on the inside of us. And this joy that we have, as the old church says, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. We got a joy that will flow out of our lives. It compels us. and moves us forward. I'm here to let some of you know, because some of y'all have been stuck in your situation, and you've been stuck emotionally, and you've been stuck mentally, and you've been in this place right now where it's been hard for you to get excited. It's been hard for you to be able to even get out of the bed. It's been hard for you to be able to move forward. I'm here to let you know that Jesus came down from heaven to earth to give you a joy that'll move you from a place of bondage, that will move you from a place of being stuck, and move you to your potential, and move you to your purpose, and move you into the calling that he has for your life. I'm here to let you know that this joy, y'all, is a compelling joy, that when you get it, you can't sit still. It's like kids that can't sleep the night before Christmas. They keep coming out their room because they're filled with so much anticipation and filled with so much joy. Can I help you understand something? Every day can be like that when you're following and trusting in Jesus. God, I can't wait to see what you're going to do tomorrow. That no matter what happens in my life, I know that you'll be there right beside me. That no matter what may come, good or bad, happy or sad, I got joy because I know that you are with me. I want to let some of us know here today who find yourself in a low place. I want you to be encouraged with this, that your low place in life does not have to be the last place of your life. Some of you are in low places right now. You're in a low place emotionally. You're in a low place mentally. You're in a low place spiritually. But I'm here to let you know that your low place does not have to be your last place. I'm here to let you know that God has plans to prosper you, not harm you. God has great things that he wants to do in your life. God has great things that he wants to do through your life. Your life is not over. It does not matter what the enemy might be saying. It does not matter what other people may be saying. God has something great on the other side of what it is you find yourself in. Which now leads to this last point, that God's joy is not just compelling and it's not just comforting, but I want you to know this, that God's gift of joy, family, is better than happiness. It's continuous. God's joy has a never-ending cycle. So notice what verse 20 says. The Bible says this, that the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. If you look in the early part of this story, the shepherds had no joy. Now they've had this encounter with this angel where they've received this good news of joy in Jesus. And they won't stop talking about it. They won't stop shouting about it. They won't stop praising God about it. I wonder if you had some people who were around them like, all right, fam, we get it. We know y'all excited. And I wonder if the shepherds somewhere along the way were like, hey, listen, we know that we've been talking about this for so long, but when you understand all that we have seen and all that God has done in our life, when you understand all that God has brought from us and brought to our lives, you won't be able to stay quiet either. And I believe some of us are in here today when you take inventory of your life and when you look back over all the things that God has said and all the things that God has done, it causes you to have an endless praise. It causes you to have an endless joy. It causes you to not be able to be quiet because the joy that you have is not able to stop. It's continuous. When you look back over all the things, how you made it through 2022, how you made it through 2021, when you think about how you had COVID and people didn't think you were going to make it, doctors said that you only had a few weeks to live, but then all of a sudden here you are 2 years later and you're sitting on this front row and you're watching church right now online, it's because of the goodness of God. And when you begin to think about all that God has done, it should cause you and I to well up with joy. And we rejoice. We rejoice when we recount all the things that God has done. And I love this, y'all, because here's what Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 says. Paul, he says these words. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord when everybody is getting along with you. Rejoice in the Lord when you have the perfect start to your day. Rejoice in the Lord when you don't have any flat tires. Rejoice in the Lord. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord if you got four working tires or if you got four flats. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord when everything is going well. Rejoice in the Lord when things are not going well. Rejoice in the Lord when you got a whole lot of money. Rejoice in the Lord when you have no money at all. Rejoice in the Lord when you're feeling your best. Rejoice in the Lord when you feel like crap. Why? Because my rejoicing is not based upon my situations. My rejoicing is based upon my God. So I don't rejoice because life is always good. I rejoice at all times because God is always good. Do y'all see the difference? My rejoicing is not based upon what's happening around me. My rejoicing is based upon the God who loves me. That's what joy is about. Happiness is about situations. Joy is about the Savior. That I rejoice even when things are not going my way. I rejoice even when things are going my way. Whether it is, whether it's not, I rejoice. Job says it like this, though he slays me, yet will I trust him. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will always be in my mouth. I will rejoice. I will bless God at all times. All times. It doesn't matter how good you feel. It doesn't matter how bad you feel. I will bless the Lord at all times. Why? Because he's still good. So I want you to get this in your mind, and I want you to write this down. We can have joy at all times, not because life is always good, but because God is always good. That's different than happiness. Happiness is, we celebrate and we rejoice when things are good, but we can't do that when things are bad. But God says, no, I want to give you something better. I want to give you joy. We can have joy at all times, not because life is always good, but because God is always good. Can I help you understand something about God's joy? His joy never runs out. There's no expiration date on his joy. Best used before 12:31. No. His joy is continuous. So here's what the Bible says in Psalm 16:11. You reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. And at your right hand are eternal pleasures. Which means this, because he himself is endless, the gift of joy that he gives is also endless. Here's what you will see in a few moments, in a few days, 3 days to be exact. Decorations all around you will come down. Walmart on Tuesday, Christmas trees are on sale. Because Christmas has come in culture's mind, and the reason for it has come and gone. People stop playing Christmas music the next day because the joy of this world is temporary. But the joy of Jesus never has to end because he is the eternal source of joy, which means it doesn't matter what season I'm in. I can still have joy. So whether it's January 1st or December 1st, I still can have joy. Whether it's February 1st or December 1st, I can still have joy. Why? Because the joy of the world is seasonal, but the joy of the Lord is eternal. Which means this, family, it doesn't matter what it is that you're facing right now. I'm here to let you know that you can have joy in the midst of it all. The joy of the Lord is not just your strength, but the joy of the Lord isn't going anywhere at all. It is always in season. His joy is applicable in season. His joy is always in style, out of season. His joy never goes out of style. And I'm here to let you know that if you would take inventory of your life, you got plenty of reasons to be joyful in this season. You got plenty of reasons to rejoice in this season. I know you might not have everything that you want right now, and I know that you might not have everyone that you want right now. I know that we might be grieving right now for some of us in this season. I know for some of us we might be celebrating in this season, but I'm here to let you know that God gives us this invitation that no matter the season that you're in, you can still rejoice. Why? Because the God who loves you, the God who is for you and not against you, the God who sent his son down from heaven to earth is still with you. I can rejoice. And I want you to understand something, family, that God is inviting you and I in this season to receive his joy and to rest in his joy. To receive this gift of joy. And I want to tell you what the good news about Christmas is. The good news of Christmas is that Jesus helps us to be joyful when we find ourselves joyless. Because Some of us are here today and you're online and you don't have a lot of joy right now. Can I let you know that Jesus came down to give you joy? Jesus came down to fill you with joy. And the reason why we can see joy to the world at all times is because that truth never changes. You know what I've started to do? I've started to rehearse these songs that we sing about Jesus during Christmas. I sing them all year now. It can be June 30th, blazing hot outside, and I will have Joy to the World on. Because that truth doesn't change no matter the season that we're in. So while the world has moved on, we can stay in this season of joy. Have you ever wondered and said, man, it'd be cool for us to have this moment in December at all times? Wouldn't it be awesome? I'm here to let you know that that actually can happen. It's not going to happen because Christmas movies are on. It's not going to happen because all the songs are being sung. No. It's going to happen because the one that this season is actually all about is still alive. And we can still celebrate him. So Christmas can be not just one day, one season. It really can be every day. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. I want everybody to stand to our feet in this moment, because I believe that some of you are here today and you are low on joy. You have no joy at all. I'm here to let you know that today can be the day where you get your joy back. I want to invite you, just with heads bowed and eyes closed, in this moment, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I want to have joy. I'm here to let you know, family, you can't get joy without Jesus. You got to have Jesus. It comes by you receiving Jesus as Lord and as Savior. That's the only way that you get his joy. So my heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I want to receive Jesus today. I want to know him personally. I want to believe in him. My head's about, eyes closed. Would you just do me a favor while no one is looking? It's just you and God in this moment. Would you just slip up your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. If that's you, you want to receive Jesus today. You want to believe in him. You want to receive him as Lord. Amen. I see your hands. Amen. If you're online or in person and you're saying, today I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? I receive your joy. I receive your salvation. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Can we celebrate God today for those who have said yes to Jesus? Come on, can we give God praise? Come on, I saw some hands go up this morning. Amen. And I want you to know, if you raised your hand or if you prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision that you will ever make, and we want to follow up with you. If you could do me a favor.